with what's going on in the Middle East today with Israel committing actual genocide, mass bombing and slaughter of women and children, the Palestinian children and civilians in Lebanon, it's really critical for us to have a discussion about what is a Christian, also what is a Muslim, and what are the approved applications of violence in the eyes of Christ or God? Because we have Christian Zionists in America that are advocating this mass violence, this mass bombing, this genocide, and saying we gotta kill all those Muslims and kill all those Arabs. And they claim to do this in the name of Christ, which is blasphemy. It is absurd. Christ would never advocate that. Christ was all about peace. And if you call yourself a Christian, which means to be one who follows Christ, then of course, by definition, you need to follow the teachings of Christ. Since Christ taught peace with very limited applications of moments of standing ground and holding the line, limited applications of applying or threatening violence in order to stop intense evil, which we'll talk about here. But if you follow Christ, you must be a person of peace. Otherwise, you're not authentic in following Christ, obviously. So by definition, you can't call yourself a Christian if you are not, by default, a person of peace. It doesn't mean that you can't use applied violence in self-defense in certain circumstances, and this is where the discussion needs to take place. But your overall posture about the way you deal with the world must be one of peace. And by the way, the same thing is true with Muslims. Because if you have read anything in the Quran, and admittedly, I have not read the entire Quran, but I have begun to read certain surahs, which are chapters, essentially, of the Quran. I've begun to teach some of those to show the parallels between the Bible, both Old and New Testament, and the Quran. And you'll find that in one of my previous sermons. But everything that I have read so far in the Quran advocates peace. And in fact, those who study Islam, when they say the name Allah, which is their name for the Creator, their name for God, they always follow it, I've learned, and they say, Allah, may peace be upon him. They have the word peace. You don't find Christians saying, the Lord, may peace be upon him, because they're not as dedicated to peace as are Muslims. Now, are there some Muslims who blaspheme the teachings of their own prophet Muhammad and commit violence and seek out violence? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are Muslims like that. There are Christians like that. There are Jews like that. In every world religion, probably except Buddhism, I would imagine, but in almost every world religion, you're going to find people that run around committing violence, claiming to be followers of that religion, but actually they are, of course, contradicting the teachings of that religion. They always justify it, though. You'll notice that they justify mass slaughter, they justify the genocide, they justify ethnic cleansing, just as Israel is justifying it today. And by the way, I apologize for the background noise. I'm actually recording this in a truck because the Word of God never stops, even when we're on the road. So I record sermons wherever I can. I happen to be on the road right now, involved in transporting some products that are going to be related to some rescue donations for certain groups. So that's what I'm actually doing today. First aid rescue in this case, but not food, but first aid. But let's talk about, what are the appropriate uses of violence, even in the eyes of Christ or in the eyes of Muhammad or in the eyes of the Lord? Okay, what are the appropriate uses of violence? So Christ and Muhammad and the Lord give you the right to defend your person, to defend your property, and to defend your family against imminent theft or threats of violence. And this is clear, and also Jews as well. This is clear across all these religions, and it's probably mentioned in Sikhism and Buddhism, although I'm not familiar with those texts, so I don't know for sure. Or Hinduism, it's probably there, I'm just guessing. But this is a fundamental human right. So if you are in your home and a man bursts through your front door with a machete, you do have the right to use the weapons of your day. Could have been a sword a couple thousand years ago, could be an AR-15 today, to ventilate that person and to stop their imminent violence threatened against you. That is Christ-like, actually, and that is consistent with the teachings of Muhammad, I believe, in the Quran, although again, I'm no expert on the Quran, but I believe that is consistent. And I believe it's also consistent with the teachings of the Lord in the Old Testament. Clearly, you have the right to defend yourself and to defend your family and to defend your property against thieves and murderers and violence and so on. Okay, but that is about imminent threats. So someone is at your door. Someone is saying they're going to hurt you. Someone has the means to carry out that threat. It can't be just like a Girl Scout at your door saying, I have Girl Scout cookies and I'm going to firebomb your house with Girl Scout cookies. You can't shoot the Girl Scout because, well, that's not a credible threat. The Girl Scout, you know, tiny little Girl Scout with cookies does not have the means to carry out such a threat. So there also has to be the establishment of the credibility of whatever threat is being leveled against you. So that's also important to understand. This is actually codified in legal principles of Western nations. If you use a firearm in self-defense, you will likely end up in court, in civil court, if not criminal court, but civil court, sued by the person you shot or sued by the family of the person you shot if you killed them, even if you were justified in using violence under law or in your own mind, or even justified in the eyes of God, you will still be challenged on that, typically, and you will need to further justify your actions. Was there an imminent threat? In your mind, did you fear for your life or your safety? Was the threat credible? Did the person or persons making that threat, did they have the means to carry out that threat against you? In other words, were they holding a gun? Were they holding a machete? Did they have a Molotov cocktail, etc.? If the answer to all those things is yes, then you're probably going to win that case. But you do need to be able to justify it. And also, I think more importantly, you need to be able to justify it in the eyes of God. Because one day we will all be judged, each and every one of us. We will be judged before God based on our book of life, which is the log file of all of our actions, all the decisions that we made. Did we advocate for peace? And if we did use violence, was it applied violence that was justified? And so let's expand this case now and think about this concept of applied violence. Where is it okay in the eyes of God? Where is it okay in the eyes of Christ or in the eyes of Muhammad? So let's lay out a scenario. Let's say that you're living in Oklahoma, suppose. And, let's say Arizona. You're living in Arizona, and the communist Chinese government, this is just a thought experiment, with the Mexican drug cartels, invades Arizona through the southern border and sends in tanks and soldiers to attack you, to kill you, and to create a beachhead in Arizona to steal the land, actually take the land, take the homes, the farms, the resources, and claim that this is now either China, or this is some new country, we'll just call it narco land, okay? So, if that were to happen, would you, as a person living there, as these armies were coming to you, would you have the right to kill them, to defend your property, your community, your family, even your nation? And the answer, very clearly, is yes. Very clearly, yes. Now, this is what Israel did to Palestine in 1948. The UN said, we're going to recognize Israel. We're going to tell Israel, you can go to Palestine and just take all their land. The UN did not tell the world that there were already people there. People with farms, people with families, people with 1,000 years of history already living there. But they just said, yeah, Israel, you can just go there and kill everybody, move everybody, displace them, take their land. Did those people have a right to fight back against the Israeli occupation and invasion? Absolutely they did. In fact, who was wrong in the eyes of God in 1948? It was Israel, and it was the UN, because Israel was the invading force. Israel, they were the occupiers, supported by the British Army, by the way. So the British were evil in the eyes of the Lord. The Israelis were evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the Palestinians were the good people in the eyes of the Lord, even if they killed Israelis who were carrying out the invasion and the occupation. Now, since then, Israel has taken more and more land in the region, and it has put the Palestinians into an open-air prison known as Gaza. And Israel has controlled that prison, controlled the food going in and out, controlled the water, controlled communications, internet, everything. Imagine if China took over Arizona, rounded up all the people of Arizona, killed a million of them, or a few million, and the remaining people, the survivors, they put them into camps. Camps run by China in Arizona, and you were a prisoner in that camp, and you did not have the right to enter or leave without China's permission, or you did not have the right to have food or water without China's permission. And then whenever China wanted, they could just come in and just kill a few hundred thousand Americans in the camps and say they were mowing the lawn. Would you, as an American, as an Arizonan, would you have the right, the moral right, to try to kill your oppressors and to break free from the enslavement of the prison that China was running in Arizona? Would you have that moral right in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Jesus? And the answer is yes. Clearly, yes, you have that moral right. If a foreign enemy occupying force comes, kills your people, takes your land, throws you into a prison camp, and does not allow you freedom, and does not allow you dignity, and remember, they've stolen your land and your farms, and they've murdered you, and they've raped your women, and they've tortured your men. Do you have the right to fight back? Morally? Biblically? 100%. So, in the case of Gaza versus Israel, the people of Gaza have every spiritual right to fight back against their oppressors. They have every right to kill Israelis who are enslaving them and who have occupied their land and stolen their land and killed their ancestors. Biblically. This is in the eyes of Christ, and in the eyes of Muhammad, and in the eyes of the Lord. It's very clear. There's no question whatsoever. If this were to happen again in America, almost every American would say it's wrong for a foreign invader to come here and steal the land and enslave our people. But for some reason, Americans support Israel doing that to other people. Mostly just because those other people happen to be largely Muslims, but did you know that 30% of Lebanon is Christian? Did you know that there are Christian churches and Christian people in Gaza? Did you know that Israel has been bombing and murdering Christian families, both in Gaza and in Lebanon, and to some extent, even in the West Bank as well? So understand what's going on here. Don't just express hatred toward people because they're Muslims. What you need to look back on is what are the Christian and biblical principles that are at play here? Are your actions and your loyalties, are they aligned with Christ? Are they aligned with the Lord? If you're a Muslim, are they aligned with Muhammad and Allah? Or are you on the side of violence and suffering and genocide and ethnic cleansing and wiping out people because you want to take their land? If you're on that side, you are on the side of Satan, and you cannot claim to be a Christian or a Muslim, by the way. So for the record, Muslims who just want to kill are also not actually Muslims. They do not follow the teachings of Muhammad. But Muslims that defend their homeland, their homes, their ancestry, their land, and their freedom against occupiers and invaders, they are faithful Muslims, even if they must use, in their defense, they must apply a limited amount of violence and self-defense, which every Christian would support, as we already talked about. If you're being invaded and overrun and occupied, and there's an imminent threat against your land, your family, your community, and you're a Christian, yes, you may use violence to defend yourself against that. Well, so also may Muslims. This is a biblical principle that is taught throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. There are justified applications of violence in self-defense. Again, this is a universal principle, and it is allowed in the eyes of God when it is applied in that context. Now, let me ask you this question. If you live in a neighborhood and let's say that there's a family next door that's got five brothers, and the brothers are mean, and one of the brothers, like young kids, like young teenagers, and they're just out of control. One of the young kids comes over and kills your dog, let's say. Well, that's bad. That's a crime, by the way, and you would try to hold that person accountable. Or maybe even to escalate this more, let's say that one of the young brothers kills one of your brothers. Murder. You know, with a gun or a sword or a machete or whatever, or a car or a truck. And so that person goes to jail. That young teenager goes to jail for manslaughter. Do you then have the right to march next door and murder all the other brothers? Do you have the right to murder the parents? Do you have the right to burn their home? The answer, of course, is no. You do not have that right because you cannot hold the entire family accountable for the actions of one of their sons. What Israel's arguing, however, is that, well, those other brothers might grow up to become terrorists one day, and therefore we, Israel, we have the right to kill them all before they grow up, because we're going to say that this entire region produces terrorists who are a threat to us, and we're just going to preemptively kill them for their future crimes. Is that allowed under the teachings of the Lord? The answer is no. You cannot preemptively assign guilt and, you know, to an entire group of people. You cannot preemptively execute entire groups of people, families or ethnicities or nationalities, because you think that they are going to produce people of violence who may be against you in the future. That is not allowed under biblical law. There is no example that supports this that is mentioned in the Bible. I doubt there's an example of this in the Quran. I have not seen anything in the Old Testament or the New Testament that would support such a notion. If you've seen something like that, let me know. But I haven't seen anything like that. But this is what Israel promises to do, to murder groups of people and to justify it by saying that they are Amalek or Amalek, or however they pronounce it. This is in the Talmud, I believe, where they say that they are subhuman animals and therefore that God has given them the right to murder all these people. Well, Zionists believe that all Christians are also subhuman animals, that anybody who's not a Zionist can be murdered by a Zionist. That's what they believe. Well, that is not obviously consistent with the teachings of the Lord. It's not consistent with the Old Testament or the New Testament or the Quran. So that idea of slaughtering and murdering people because of what their children might do in the future, this is not rooted in biblical principles. And anyone who engages in that kind of, you know, precalculated vengeance and mass slaughter of innocent people, that person would be considered wicked and would be considered evil in the eyes of the Lord, and evil and wicked in the eyes of every religion that I can think of. So what Israel is doing in terms of biblical principles is evil. Almost the entire world agrees with that, and any rational person agrees with that. They are bombing civilians by the tens of thousands. They are bombing hospitals, apartment buildings. They are applying violence against people who have never committed any crimes against Israel. They're bombing women and children. They are bombing elderly people. They are bombing hospital patients, cancer patients, newborns. They're doing it on purpose, and they're saying, well, those people might one day raise their fist against us. That is not allowed. You can't just run around your society, your neighborhood, just gunning down everybody because you suspect in your mind that you think they might one day be bad people and God told you to go kill them all. If you run around a neighborhood with an AR-15 shooting up everybody that you think might be evil one day, well, you know, you're going to be probably killed by somebody shooting back, by the way, or if not, you'll be arrested and you'll be charged with mass murder. And that's exactly what Israel should be charged with at this point, is genocide, mass murder, crimes against humanity. So understand the biblical principles that are at stake here. Yes, you have the right to defend yourself against imminent violence, threats against your home, against your person, against your family, against your property. You do not have the right to pre-kill people that you suspect might one day do things against you just because you don't like where you think they're going. That's not allowed. It's not allowed by Christ. It's not allowed by the Lord. Not allowed by Muhammad. And anybody who commits such acts will be judged accordingly. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, abundance.church. Visit the website for more sermons. God bless you all. Be peaceful. Be peaceful, folks. Be a good person. Advocate for peace, and you'll be fine. Thanks for listening.